And welcome in to the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, happy Monday morning. How are you?
Yeah, happy Monday to you. I'm fine. I'm watching these. I'm catching up on these Mac McClung dunks. Pretty good.
Not bad.
I gotta say. Yeah. Yeah, that was decent. I heard all the buzz. I didn't watch it live. Not bad.
I refuse to watch the dunk contest live for how many times I've done it over the past 20 years, and it's been absolutely terrible. But apparently I did miss something on Saturday.
Yeah. No, he's got a couple in here that are pretty good, I gotta say. It's hard. It's just hard to do new things, you know.
It is.
It's just like, I mean, everything's been done, but he, one of the ones he has there, I've not seen anybody do it before, and that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Gabrielle Union, as I'm watching this video, is very impressed.
Very, very excited about the dunks that took place. Watching highlights of the NBA All-Star game right now. It's impressive. It turns out they can dunk and shoot, so that's good to know from the NBA All-Stars last night. I think the final score was like 184 to 160 something. So shout out to the NBA All-Star this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't watch that either. I don't watch any. I'm to the point where I just do not watch All-Star anything.
Yes. I think we've officially reached that point.
Used to love the NBA All-Star game. And the thing is, it is fun. I mean, like, if I just wasn't doing other stuff, I would have watched it. Did you watch it, Michelle?
No, I watched the dunk contest, which actually, I was entertained. I haven't been in the last couple of years, pleasantly entertained. And also, you should go ahead and watch Mac McClellan's high school highlight dunk tape. It's pretty sick.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Where'd you see that?
I'll be full disclosure.
Ryan showed it to me.
I had no clue who this guy was before this weekend. I had no idea.
They moved him up for this.
I remember him at Texas Tech. Yeah.
You have no clue.
Yeah.
But good for him.
Yeah, in the league, like, does he play at all?
I have no clue.
He just got a two-way contract, like, last week, okay, so he could compete in this.
Okay. I got it.
And I saw something, like, his winnings from this were, it was like $100,000, and he makes like $110,000 or something like that.
Double your salary, man. I love it.
I mean, I'm all for it, but he's not even an NBA player. Is that what we have to do with the NBA dunk contest now?
Hey, that's whatever. Actually cool, though.
Cool, man.
I like that, though. You know, like if you take if a G leaguer is, you know, not good enough, but they have like particular. You may have a G. I was going to say you may have a G leaguer who's like an. Yeah, I guess if you're that good of a shooter, you would be in the league, though, right?
Let's go find Eve Pons and let him, like, jump through the hoop or whatever he can do.
See? That's Eve Pons would actually be a dunk contest contender at some point. Yeah. Is he still in the G League somewhere?
I think so.
Yeah.
Get him in there.
Why didn't he get? Yeah. Next year, Eve Pons.
Maybe the most athletic person I've ever seen in person.
Yeah. I mean.
Maybe not quite, but pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
Next year, Eve Pons.
Congratulations to the NBA on a successful NBA All-Star weekend in Utah. The Nashville Predators, however, a little bit of up and down weekend. And right now, quite frankly, Joe, they can't afford many more up and down weekends. They win 7-3 on Saturday. Looked pretty good while doing so against the Florida Panthers. Roman Josi and Ryan McDonagh, in particular, I thought were really good in that game. Tommy Novak was really good. And you get a big win after an absolute dud on Thursday against the Boston Bruins. And that set up what was a huge game yesterday against Minnesota. Had the Predators won the game yesterday in regulation, they would have been 3 points back of Minnesota. And if you lose, you're 7 points back. And, of course, they lose with 20 seconds left. Ryan Hartman, puck basically just bounces in off of him after the Predators had just tied it up 3-3. Ryan Hartman scores to go up 4-3, and the Predators lose yesterday in Minnesota. And I tweeted this out yesterday, and I'll reiterate it here. The last three games to me, Joe, just kind of sum up what the season has been for the Predators. They looked terrible on Thursday against Boston. They looked great on Saturday against Florida. They got to the point yesterday where they were down 3-1, and I had like tweets fired up, ready to count them out and bury them this season. And then all of a sudden you turn around, it's 3-3. They give you hope, and then it just gets ripped away from them. It's just, you never really know what it's going to be, but ultimately it always ends up back in the same place, which is one step forward, one step back, and no traction being gained whatsoever if you're the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, you feel for how that went for them. It's just a brutal, brutal way for that to end. They fought, a couple of two-goal deficits. They fought, give him credit. Novak, a little bit of a heater, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
Right now. But, yeah, ultimately you look up and it's a 7-point deficit. And that's the team now that, you know, it's not the only team, but, I mean, that's right directly in front of you. Yeah, I mean, you have two games in hand, but, like, you have to now go, like, what do they have left? How many games? They have 28 games left?
That is correct.
How about that math? Like, you got to win how many of those? 21? I mean, 19, maybe 19?
20. Yeah, like, you're going to have to go on an absolute heater.
So that's the thing. At this point, the information available to David Poile is – yes, it's still possible. It would require a level of play and a level of consistency this team hasn't come close to this year.
Well, the odds are 9.6%. That's where you're at right now from MoneyPuck. And look, there's several different sites that have the playoff odds. They're not all going to be the same just based on the formulas that they run, but they're all around the same. I mean, you're talking about a very small chance mathematically that you're getting into the playoffs at this point. If you win that game yesterday, you know, it's crazy to think about one game, but if you win the game yesterday in regulation, you're 3 points back in Minnesota and you got two games in hand. Now, you still have to win those two games in hand, but, I mean, that's just it's a crushing loss yesterday. It really is.
Yeah, what would be the percentage? Like, just that game working out differently.
They'd probably be up in the
16% or something.
They'd probably be in the 20s, but
yeah. Gosh, one game making.
Yeah.
But
that's where they're at, though.
But yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Yeah, it's, again, a good response against Florida because certainly Thursday was a sobering, kind of depressing look at how they match up with the best in the league. But Florida is a very talented team, certainly. And the Preds looked offensively fluid in that game. So you're like, okay, one game. But now we're talking about, I think we're talking about changes coming here.
Well, I mean, I think you've got to be thinking that way. Like honestly, the game Thursday was it for me. Like when you get, and I realize it's Boston, right? Like nobody, I don't think very many people expected them to actually beat Boston on Thursday, but it was the way it looked. Like it's, you know, we had talked to Dan Hynote that morning, and he was talking about, you know, what an opportunity this could be for the Predators, and this is one of the easiest games to coach because the motivation should be there. And, you know, after Boston got up 2-0 in that game, I don't know about you, Joe. And I know Adam was on here on Friday, and I heard a little bit of what y'all talked about. But it felt to me like they just kind of laid down after that, and that's not what you're looking for in a situation like that. And even yesterday, like I get yesterday, it's a back-to-back. I think the effort was there. But for most of that game, I mean, they got nothing done offensively. I mean, just nothing done offensively. And you're just – in order to get in the playoffs at this point to me – it's going to require a level of play, and not just a level of play, a consistent level of play that I just don't think this team is capable of reaching. I mean, we've got a pretty good sample size now of what this group is this year, and for whatever reason, even though I think they're more talented on paper than they were a year ago, they're just not as good, and they're not as consistent, and I can't envision a scenario where that's just all of a sudden going to change as they move forward. And, you know, I think Vingan put this out there yesterday. They basically would require about 112, 114 point pace over an 82 game season to get to 97 points from here on out. I don't think they can do that. Like I just don't think they are capable of doing it.
So yeah, well, I don't either. Now, I'm just throwing this out there. 2 years ago, if we could go back and listen to, I don't know if we talked, you know, if we specifically addressed this on the show that day or whatever. When they had 28 games left,
yep.
But they also had no chance of doing that. Then you would have thought. I know we did thought that they went 27-1, not 27-1, 20-7-1.
Correct.
In the last 28, if they do that again, as they did exactly 2 years ago, and go 27-1, I would say they're probably in the playoffs. So. There you go.
Well, that would if you did that.
What was the percentage back then?
If they went 27-1, that'd put them at 99 points. So you're probably in. at that point.
So there you go. Just do what you did too. And it's funny because, of course, Ekholm, a totally different situation because he was the contract, you know, I mean, he was perfectly designed for the trading deadline with his deal. But Ekholm, trade rumors swirling then, and here they are again.
Well, I just wonder, like, I think a lot of Predators fans themselves have been ready to sell or do things like this for a while now. Ultimately, the one that matters is Poile and what he's going to do. And, look, we're having him on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that conversation as they prepare to take on Vancouver tomorrow at home. But I do wonder, like, over the weekend, when you factor in the comments that he made to us last week, and then after that, it's the Boston game where you get shelled. You look great against Florida, and then you drop one on the road against Minnesota. I mean, you're starting to look at the math if you're David Poile. I do wonder how much this past week has kind of shaped what he's going to do. Like, we know that they're not going to buy at this point. Like, we know that. And he said that the other day. Was this past week enough for David Poile to be like, all right, I don't want to do it, but I know what we got to do.
Yeah, it's a great question. I did want to point out this this tweet that we got. It looks like overnight here. Catherine Wellborn says, while realistically I know it was best for the Preds to lose this game and even expected it, it feels a lot like the death of a lifelong friend.
Mm.
My goodness, Catherine, coming on a Monday morning.
It's not good.
And by the way, when you talk about Poile being close and everything, I mean, someone told Pierre LeBrun, you know, basically put everybody on notice. Now, again, that's also a, hey, everybody in the locker room, I hope you're paying attention.
Right.
And of course, they play pretty well Saturday, but I don't think it's all just fluff either. I mean, even what he told us,
right?
I don't take that as just posturing.
No, I don't either. And again, I thought the effort was fine yesterday. Like, it wasn't an effort thing to me yesterday. They couldn't break through. Like, Minnesota played well defensively. And then, you know, Josi gets the goal to make it 3-2. It was kind of just honestly a bad goal let in by Gustafson. And then Niederreiter ties it up. And you're thinking, man, they've gotten through this whole game where they've gotten basically nothing going offensively, and they're about to at least get it to overtime. And then to watch that one go in with 20 seconds left, I mean, it's just a punch right to the face. I also saw
some of all people being involved in
with
that.
With Ryan Hartman, yeah. And I also saw some Preds. I did get a few tweets yesterday of the, oh, my goodness, thank God Ryan Hartman scored. They were about to fool themselves into thinking they were good enough to make in the playoffs had they won that game. So
I think
depends on the eye of the beholder.
I think there's some of that for sure.
I think there's some of that. 615-737-1025. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, was the loss to Minnesota yesterday the nail in the coffin for this Predator season? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So they win 7-3 on Saturday, their highest goal total output of the season. They lose 4-3 yesterday after tying it at 3 with 47 seconds left. Ryan Hartman scores the game winner with 20 seconds left for Minnesota. And Minnesota gets a big win. And, Joe, they're 2-4 since the All-Star break now. They have 5 games remaining until the trading deadline coming up on March the 3rd. So not a whole lot of time left before David Poile has to make decisions about the direction that he wants the roster to go, the team to go, all those things that we've talked about with the trade deadline. And now you're 7 points back of Minnesota. Edmonton and Colorado played yesterday. Colorado wins in overtime, so that means Edmonton also gets a point. So basically, like, the playoffs right now, people that are within somewhat of a shouting distance is Minnesota. Like, that's the final wild card spot. Edmonton's got the first wild card spot, and they're 10 points up on you right now. Colorado, even though injuries continuing to take place with them, with Cale Makar getting a little banged up, they're at 67 points, and they're in third place in the division. So really, like, it's Minnesota or Calgary. And that's about it right now if you're the Predators. Those are the two teams you're chasing. Was yesterday in your mind, with that loss, with all the other information I've just thrown out there at you, was that the nail in the coffin for this Predator season? That's what we're trying to determine.
So what I just mentioned, first of all, I think I do believe that, you know, for David Poile, he doesn't want it to be. And the stat I just mentioned last segment, 27-1. I bet you David Poile knows that stat.
I bet he does.
So I'm going to say no. Now, I'm going to say no, and basically I think this is going all the way. Now, if they get to, if they get like a point out of the next three or something like that, which is Vancouver, at San Jose, at Arizona, then I think at that point, you know, you'd have to say yes. I think they're right on the line. But I'm going to say right at this moment, no. And I think when we talk to David Poile tomorrow, I mean, well, look, even if it was yes, is David Poile going to come? I mean, I hope so. I would hope that David Poile would tell us everything that's in his head when he comes on this show. But
I hope so too.
You know, I think you'll hear from him. You know, this is a huge game tonight.
Yeah. I think that's what you hear. I mean, look,
I'll
put it to you this way. They have to win all three of their next games. Not, oh, they can play well and get 5 out of 6 points, 4 out of 6 points. They have to win all three of these next games. They have to beat Vancouver, who's not very good, San Jose, who's not very good, and the Arizona team, who's not very good, who just beat you last week, and now you have to go on the road next Sunday and take them on. Like, for me, to even get yourself back in a conversation, you have to win all three of those games. Like, you can't drop any of them. Like, you got to win all three of them, and you got to get yourself into a position where that Pittsburgh game on Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, matters. And it matters in terms of, you know, are you holding on to what you got at the trading deadline, or are you selling some guys off? Like, there are some Predators fans that I saw yesterday, like, after the loss to Minnesota, are asking the question, all right, like, do we see something this week? Like, will somebody be traded this week?
I can't rule it out.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I think the Predators are going to hold on as long as possible while they still have a chance before the deadline. But there also has to be a point, like, I mean, to me, like I said, they have to win these next three games. If they come out tomorrow and lose to Vancouver, like, it's over to me. Like, you can't lose any one of these next three games against those three teams and think that you're any serious level of playoff contender. Your margin for error to me is totally gone now. It's totally gone.
I would agree that tomorrow, if you lose that very first one at home when you're about to go out west against a bad team. I mean, again, you're talking about, I mean, you are playing three bad teams in a row here who have absolutely no hope, who are all bleeping the bed for Bedard at different levels.
Yep.
So I would agree that if you start this right out at home, losing to them, I don't know for sure that David Poile will agree with everybody, but I think basically everybody, and I know a lot of people have been there for a while, are there. I get it.
Right.
But I would say that, I guess, just speak for myself. I would agree with you. I think it's over if they lose tomorrow. Like, I think it's probably over anyway, right?
Right.
But it's at some point, it's like, okay, that's it. Make the call. I think tomorrow you can make the call.
Well, and, you know, I do wonder, like, that locker room. I don't know if y'all talked about or heard some of the things that Ryan McDonagh said after the Boston game.
We did. Absolutely.
But it's more of the same of what we've talked about the last 3 weeks. And to their credit, I mean, they responded in the Florida game. So,
And he was made available, and I think he wanted to be made available, by the way.
I believe that is the case. So they responded. I mean, good on them. They responded after the meeting. They responded after what I took is basically a call out from Ryan McDonagh in the media after the Boston game. And good on him for doing it. Look, Ryan McDonagh, that guy knows how to win. I don't think there's any question about that. But I again found myself thinking, what is the deal here? Like, why does it always take something with this group for that to happen? Like, why do you need a meeting? Why do you need Ryan McDonagh, you know, calling you out, you calling each other out after every third game for you to get out there and play that way on Saturday? And it goes back to what you've been saying for weeks, and that I think everybody has come to the realization of, yes, you can have a meeting and you can have call-outs and you can do all these motivational things and they may work for a game or two, and eventually you got to face the reality that this team is what it is and it's just not very good. I mean, right. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's like you not artificially, but like if you have to raise your level to be, you know, competitive with good teams, that means, I mean, your level just isn't good enough. I mean, I think that's to me what it is. And I know there, I mean, I had someone come at me on Twitter. I should find these tweets. Like, this is a team with incredible talent. Fire Hines. Yeah. You know, like there's this person pointed to Tolvin and everything. You know, this is, I'm like, incredible talent? Are we sure about that? Like, relative to the rest of the league. I'm going to read Kyle's text. No, the coffin has been built. The nails, the paint, it was there already. Yesterday was the Preds' lifeless bodies plopping into the coffin.
Okay.
I just pray Poyle heard a thud. Boy, kind of some morbid.
Yeah, morbid stuff so far stuff this morning here, with the Predators. Well, look, I've seen a lot of that too. I get it. I do. I understand it. Like, you think that firing the coach is going to just change everything? I don't think it will. Look, if things continue this way, I would be very surprised if John Hines is back as the Predators head coach next year. I just would.
Yeah, like, I would agree. But, yeah, like firing in season right now. I mean,
we're almost at the trade deadline.
Yeah. That doesn't happen, does it?
No. Usually if you've made the decision to fire the coach in season, you've either done it by now if you want to salvage things, or there's 10 games left and you want to see what maybe one of your interim guys can do. Like, that's what you do. But I don't think that's happening. But – I mean, my point is, like, if you think that the Predators, all it is they need to fire John Hines right now and that things are just going to magically get better after that, I mean, they could. I don't think so. Like, I just think this is a roster right now that has reached the peak of what it is. I'm not saying that John Hines isn't culpable for what we've seen this year, because I think he is. Like, I think everything needs to be in question if things continue to move this way that it looks like they're moving right now. So we can have the John Hines discussion. I'm not saying we can't have it. I'm just saying, like, I don't buy that this team all of a sudden with a new coach is going to be a Stanley Cup contender. I think this roster, when you start to look at Duchesne and Johansson and some of these Granlund, guys that are not getting any younger, who we've seen, I think, probably their best hockey in this league and what they have to offer, like, I think some of this is they're starting to go the other way, and – I don't know how you fix that, regardless of who the coach is.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys were at the center of, you know, of frustration when they fired the last coach.
Right.
I mean, you know, now some of those guys are obviously gone, but yeah, it's the core issue is that it's that your core is limited, relative to the best cores around the NHL.
James on the text line says, firing Hines doesn't fix this, but it's a start. And it could be. Look, I think you and I think it'd be fair to say you and I have defended John Hines longer than most, I would say. I would say that's fair.
Probably not as intensely as, like, Willie.
Yes. But I would say that's probably fair, too. But, you know, I thought the stuff after last year, like when they lost in the first round to Colorado, like that getting blamed on Hines, like I thought that was kind of dumb. Like I thought he got a good year out of Forsberg, got a great year out of Duchesne, got a good year out of Yossi. I mean, we've talked about these things. But now, I mean, this is – I said it heading into the year, and I can't back off it now. I said, you know, based on my expectations for this team, I'm going to judge this team differently. Like I had legitimate expectations for this team to be a playoff team and to potentially get themselves in a position where maybe they could do a little bit of damage in the playoffs this year. And we know that's not – I mean, it's just not going to happen. Now, they may find themselves in a playoff race, but I don't think so. Like, it's just not going to happen. And I think you have to make decisions according to that after the season's over.
So I have a postseason announcement from the Preds that I want to hear what if people hear this announcement.
Okay.
If they'd be happy, Preds fans.
Okay.
I have a press release for you, for right after the season. I want to see if you're actually going to like this.
Okay. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Preds as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063. The game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, you said before the break you had a proposal that if you heard this from the Predators after the season, you'd be interested to get the Predators fans' response to it. What is that proposal?
Well, so this is the email, you know, Predators, and it's probably like Predators, John Hines, part ways or whatever. You know, right. whenever teams announce firings, it's always like, we've, you know, parted ways, yeah. Have decided to move on, end our relationship, you know, not just like we fired, you know, this person. Or if it's not an email, David Poile announcing it, whatever it is, just the news is John Hines has been fired. That's the news. Okay. There's no other news. So, Preds fans, you happy?
I think there'd be some, yeah. But my response to that would be, okay, I get it. I do. We'll see who they hire as the next head coach. Like, at that point, do you want David Poile hiring your next head coach?
Well, that's why I asked the question, because if that's how it is announced, as I do, I feel like some people are just way too fixated on Hines. I'm with you. I agree with you. Can't sit here right now with this season and say it's none of his fault. And look, I got some people who I talk to about this team, who I trust with their insights, who defend him still and say, hey, man, I mean, you know, look at this player, look at that player. Okay. But, I mean, again, it goes back to like the credit thing and, right. the blame thing. We know what happens in this league with coaches, but that's the point is, okay, so if that's what you get, yay, you got John Hines fired. That also confirms that David Poile's back and hiring the next coach and back as GM.
Right.
That's why I asked the question. As again, I just think people are too fixated on Hines.
Well, the talent part of this is interesting too, because I would agree with those who say this team has enough talent to be a playoff team. Like, I agree with that. I think this team should be a playoff team. And certainly, I mean, you could put part of that on coaching as to why we're sitting here today talking about them having a 9% chance to make the playoffs and talking about selling at the trading deadline. I also, like, I saw some of this over the weekend too of, well, this team is just, there's way too much talent on this team for this team to be as bad as they are. And I do think there's a little bit of an inflated view of what this team is. Even at their best. I mean, let's not forget, we've talked about this. They got 40-goal seasons out of Duchesne and Forsberg last year, the best offensive season a defenseman's had in 30 years in the league, and a Vezina finalist as their goalie last year, and they were the last team to get in the playoffs. So how talented are they really, right? I know they added McDonough, and they added Niederreiter, and I think both those guys have helped in terms of, you know, Niederreiter's going to end up with 20-something goals this year like he always does. I think McDonough and Yossi together have been really good for the most part. So those guys have helped, but you've had other guys regress. And the point is, you had historic seasons from three guys last year, and the other guy was a Vezina finalist, and he barely got in the playoffs. And we talked about that 45 times at the end of last year. What does that mean? What does that mean about where they are and where they're going from here? Now, look, I thought Forsberg would be more impactful than he's been so far this year, and I get it. He's out of the lineup right now. I thought Duchesne would be more impactful than he's been. I thought Johansson would be more impactful than he's been, and that's not happened. And you can put that on the coach if you want to. That's fine. I don't necessarily 100% disagree with you. But we've been talking about this same core group, right? The Yossis, the Ekholms, the Johanssons, the Granlunds, the Duchesnes, the Forsbergs, all these guys. They've been around for a long time, and this is a long time where this team has been basically in the same spot. Is some of that on coaching? Sure. But we were having the same conversation about this group at the end of Peter Laviolette's tenure too, and it's just like at some point you turn around and you say, all right, it's these guys. Like, and I get it. You can't get rid of a lot of them. That's the part that they're in, and that's the problem. So you have to figure it out in spite of that in the meantime, but like, this idea that the Predators are like some juggernaut just waiting to be unleashed if they go get a new coach, I can't buy into. I've seen these guys play for 6 years together, and it's not looked any different.
Well, but the only thing I argue with is it did look different, like from especially Duchesne last year. But now Duchesne's last year just looks like an outlier. And I got people on the text line saying Duchesne, energy.
But did we know that? Did we know that?
I guess after watching last year, I'm like, okay, so he's figured it out, and like he'll score 30 something this year, right? I mean, that's what I thought. But I think, I guess it's like, was it an outlier, or was it just like that was, and now that was his best, and now he's, what is he? He's 32, right?
Yeah,
32, been in the league since he was 18. I mean, I think with some of them, to your point, Duchesne, Granlund, some of these guys are just past their prime, but they're still getting paid like they aren't. This happens in the league. You have some painful end of contracts, but the Preds just have what appears to be a ton of them. I think Granlund, there's a guy who he didn't have the gaudy numbers last year, so it's not maybe as obvious falling off a cliff, but I think he has performance-wise from last year to this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has too. I just – this team was not a – it's not a Stanley Cup team. Like, at their top level, even me who said I think they could be second or third in the division this year, which just seems hilarious right now. Like, I never thought this team could be a Stanley Cup contender. Like, so what is the top level of what this team is? Like, let's say things went exactly how we thought they'd go this year, and this team was a better regular season team. You had similar years from last year from Forsberg and Duchesne. Maybe not quite as good, but similar years. Similar years from Yossi. Exactly the same from Saros. And Niederreiter and McDonough came in, and your younger players worked out. Like, what is that team? They're good. They're a playoff team. Depending on the matchup in the first round, maybe you win a playoff series. But that's about it. Like, they're not doing much more other than that.
Yeah, but I mean, but if that all took place, then we'd be talking about, okay, so basically, wow, look at this year. The Avs, but they've been banged up. They're still the most dangerous team. Like, if that was the Preds, would you be looking at Dallas, Vegas, and saying there is no way the Preds could beat them? No, I wouldn't.
Well, we wouldn't say no way, but I think we'd say it's going to require UC Saros to be great, and it's going to require guys to elevate their game in the playoffs. Like, to win a cup in this league, you have to be great down the middle, you have to have good goaltending, and you have to have a stud blue liner or two. And they're just not great down the middle. I mean, they do not have the capability of being great down the middle. So it's hard to win that way. I mean, just go find me some teams. You can probably find one or two examples over the last 15 to 20 years that have won Stanley Cups that weren't great down the middle. It's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as I watch Colton Sissons, that sweet breakaway goal the other day, I am reminded that, like, he was their number one center. Yeah. As they got with, but they got far with Johansson playing like a guy that you. That's the thing. 6 years ago in that playoff run, he was. I mean, he was what you need down the middle, right? But I still, I mean, to your hypothetical there, if Duchesne, Forsberg, and some of these guys were playing at their best level, and those ads had been what you thought they'd be, I mean, like, we'd at least be talking about, well, hey, getting the postseason with that goalie, who the heck knows? It's possible. As it turns out, I mean, they're not even close to what – I mean, you're not the only one. I thought they would be right there too. So this is the – I do want someone from the Preds to say, see, you guys all thought we were going to be good this year, and you were wrong.
Right. Right. I mean, it's the opposite of basically what happened a year ago. I mean, the point is you can change the coach, which if things keep going this way, I think they will after the season. You could change the GM, which I don't think they'll do after the season. But a lot of this is also you've got players right now that are on the wrong side of 30, or at least approaching the wrong side of 30, that their contracts make them immovable. And their level of play does not justify the salary that they're being paid, and they're not going to get any better. Like, do we believe that Ryan Johansson is just going to be better for the next 2 years with his contract? Like, Matt Duchesne at his age is going to be better next year? It's hard for me to get there. Like even like Yossi, right? Like Yossi's still a great player. Like how much longer is he going to be this good? And he's 32. Like how much longer is this going to be the case with him? Like they're in a rough spot that way.
Yeah, and even if and if you are Yossi, you know, obviously he has the no trade clause. You know, if things go a certain way, I could also see him being like, man, I'd like to have a chance to win a cup and not just waste away some years here as this team tries to retool.
615-737-1025. We got a lot of your Preds thoughts to get to. We'll do that coming up next. We'll open up our phone lines as well. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Obviously, both teams are battling hard for playoffs and positioning there. And coming in here, it's always a challenging building to play in. So just understanding that the game was going to have a lot of energy and momentum swings, and you know, we had to play a full 60 minutes. And regardless of what it was, whether we were up or down, you got to be prepared mentally to play through certain situations. I thought we did that tonight. You know, unfortunately, we didn't get any points out of a hard fought effort by our group.
That was John Hines yesterday after the loss to Minnesota, 4-3 against the Wild on the road yesterday. Preds now 7 points back of Minnesota, and you take a look at the playoff odds on MoneyPuck.com. Predators at right around a 9% chance, so things not looking good for the Predators in terms of making the playoffs, and it just kind of feels like one step forward, one step back with this team. Have a great game on Saturday. You put up 7 against Florida. And then yesterday, you lose a heartbreaker with 20 seconds left after you just tied it 3-3 with 47 seconds left. Ryan Hartman scores the game winner, and the Preds find themselves with no points against Minnesota and now in a very tough position as it relates to the playoffs. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Mike from Montana on the text line says, "What's frustrating is that many of the fans and media saw this coming 2 years ago with the Preds, but were labeled emotional and reactionary for wanting a rebuild. Now we'll have to rebuild anyway, but with few tradable assets and a bunch of bad contracts." That's from Mike from Montana on the text line. I do wonder, like, this has been a build, right, with the fan base of year after year of squeaking in the playoffs, getting put out in the first round, and then coming back next year and doing the same thing, right? Like, this has been a build of the fan base getting to this point. Like, I'm trying to think back to 2 years ago, how many – wanted the rebuild. Like, there was a point where it looked like they had no choice. You know, like they had gotten to a point where it looked bad. And
was this exact point?
Well, it was. Now, it was a shorter season, and you know, they weren't playing the whole schedule and the whole list of teams. You had the COVID division and all these other things.
Right.
But it was that, you know, from a games remaining standpoint, it was this exact point. And you know, it looked like they were going to have to trade off Ekholm and have to trade off all these other guys, and then they went on a run and didn't do it. I'm trying to put myself back in that. We definitely got some of the it's time to rebuild and blow it up, all these different things, and the Hines conversation was there. I don't think even then it approaches what it is now with this fan base. It's just built up to this point.
And still, I will say that there's some people right now who are going to say emotional reactionary – I don't know how many, but, you know, there's still – and the argument, and I know that – I mean, Chase and Michelle, you guys were talking about this on your show, the, like, okay, fans, if it does finally get blown up, will you support the team? You know, we've talked about that side of this too, right? The – what it means financially, what the fan base who's clamoring for that now, how they will react if there is – you know, a downturn. Obviously, no one wants a rebuild to take a long time.
No.
But some of these franchises around the league, there's plenty of cautionary tales around the league. If you can be caught, you know, in the tractor beam for years if it goes bad on you. So, but yeah, I think for 2 years ago to now, big difference in how many people are clamoring for it. I mean, look, it's you know, it's – yeah. First of all, I'm trying to think of all of these deals that look terrible right now. At the time, in the moment, how many did I complain about? How many did you complain about?
Well, we talked about Johansson. I mean, you got to remember DeShane at that time was – he had done nothing with the Predators. And we were thinking, man, how do you
– I'm talking about when the deals were
done. Oh, when the deals were made.
Like when Johansson signed, great job.
Yeah.
Ryan Ellis. I mean, the Ryan Ellis which it turns out being like a good trade.
Right.
But like even when that deal was signed, I was like, yeah, I think you got to do that. I mean, Forsberg last year – I think there was some back and forth with that one, right? But ultimately, it's like, okay, are you trying to – if you're trying to be competitive here the next few years, you have to sign him.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can really think of is like the money for DeShane was a little rich for me at the time, but I knew also if you wanted to get him, like you'd have to do it. Like there were people talking about DeShane getting $9 million a year from somebody on the open market, and I was like, well, I definitely wouldn't do that. Eight, still a little rich, but – you got to do it if you want him. And they did.
They did. Again, I'll raise my hand because, I mean, it is easy to look at everything right now that's bad and that Poile has done. At that time, I was like, yeah, that's the guy. That's your guy. You moved on from Subban. You got the space. Partial NMC. Yep. Let it rip. So, again, now look, some of you fans out there, maybe you disagreed with all these, you know, but – I'm just saying, in the moment, to be fair, I, for the most part, thought all these moves made sense. Now, I will not say that about Ryan Hartman for a freaking first-round pick. Now, that, you know, there's some of these, no. But hey, even go back to Turris, one of the worst moves of this whole thing. I thought, oh. Now you got a number two center.
You got a number two center.
That's exactly what you need. So, but look, that, at the same time, it's not our job. We're not paid tons of money to make these decisions and choices. You know, the GMs of pro sports teams are.
Well, it's about, you know, we had somebody text us and say, well, look at how many $8 million contracts the Predators have. Like, they've got plenty of talent. And my response is, I mean, I get it, but just because you're paid a certain amount of money doesn't mean that's what you are as a player. Like, Ryan Johansson has not been an $8 million player in a long time. Like, he was closer to it last year, but he's not been an $8 million player in a long time. Like I would argue, certainly in the playoff run in 2017, and I would say the year after, he was pretty good. And for part of 19, he was pretty good. But, I mean, other than that, he's not been an $8 million player. He's not really been close to it. So part of it is just because you're getting paid a certain amount of money does not mean that that's what you are.
Yes, right?
Right.
No. No, I mean, look. I would agree. I think Johansson's, you know, you hate to put anything on one player, you know, but I would say that his trajectory really since the 2017-18 season, again, last year, he responded. But overall, I mean, I think that's one of the bigger factors here of the whole thing.
For sure. And those are contracts that, like, we go back and forth on, like, you know, with the coach. That's fine. You can fire the coach, and that may well end up happening. Like, whoever the next coach is, you're going to have Ryan Johansson there. Like, unless ownership decides to buy him out. And that's what I have no idea. Like, does ownership have any appetite whatsoever for another of, hey, we're going to pay such and such a few million dollars a year to not be here? Like, is there any appetite for that after they're already doing that with tourists? I have no idea.
I think there may be one more buyout, you know, along with the other things, the trades, the, you know. I have to think there might have to be one more. So, and again, there's, you know, like in college athletics, you know, hey, man, you can just pay all these coaches all kinds of money every year for not working for you, and it's, you know, whatever. Just get more donations. It's a little tougher in the NHL.
Well, and especially if, you know, if you forecast the lookout and maybe there's no playoff money coming in next year and you think about what that could mean for next year, like, is there no playoff money coming in next year? Like, it's – the financial part of this is way more of a consideration than it is. Like, the NFL contract-wise is one thing. Like, there's more freedom there. Like, we had somebody compare it to the Titans and say they're in the same spot. Like, there's just more contractual freedom in the NFL to get rid of stuff. Like, it's a hard cap in the NHL. The salary is what it is. And we all know this. The NHL is not on the same financial level as the National Football League is.
Got Jared, Jared, you know, just on a text storm. Yeah. I was against the Ellis signing, he says.
He was?
I was against Hartman. Yeah, I mean, a lot of question Hartman. I was against Turris when it happened. Is that true?
I don't remember that. I don't recall him being against Turris.
But, of course, Jared doesn't tell us of the other ones that he liked. Yeah, just pick and choose, Jared. Spin zone.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob from Franklin. Rob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gents. I appreciate it. I don't like following up when Jared just texted in, but that's fine, and he's still listening. So, hey, Jared, Hartman doesn't suck. It went off his chest last night, and boom, you're 7 points out. Maybe you should reassess who sucks and who doesn't, but that's not really my point. My point is if you make the same mistakes over and over and over again and don't learn from them, then you are, and well, we know, like, it's an ID10T error, and if you write that down, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say it on the air, but ID10T, which means Poile is making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And if in 6 years we're sitting on a Forsberg contract that we wish we were out of, it's the same thing. So if you fire him, guess what? Who's the assistant GM who's learned everything from one good old dad? It's Poile. They're making the same mistakes over and over again. When Johansson was in Columbus, what was Tortorella's big beef with him? He was inconsistent. He played one game. He didn't play another. Has anything changed here? He is inconsistent. I was at the Boston game, and it was laughable. He was like a 12-year-old boy hanging his head, rolling across the ice. Awful. It was totally awful. But what we have to hope for is that someone on a playoff run burns the center and needs somebody really badly, and maybe we can offset it by paying, like, you know, three quarters of his salary to get him out of here. What are your thoughts?
Hey, thanks for the call, Rob. I mean, look, I've heard the idea floated out there, like, could you trade a Johansson or a Duchesne and retain a lot of their salary? I don't think so. Maybe you could think about it, I guess, but, like, the bottom line is I think that they're stuck with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne for the remainder of their contracts unless they decide to buy one of them out. I mean, that's basically where I'm at with those.
So think about that in terms of, so then you're going to fire your coach and tell me the coach that's like, you let me at that roster with you know, a rebuild and the huge contracts of guys who are way past their prime and probably do not want to be part of you know, a team that gets like 80 points in a season.
And think about like a year down the road, right? If things continue to go this way, like, it's, you know, I talked about this. You need upward mobility for your younger guys. Like, Ryan Johansson going to be on the fourth line, paying him $8 million a year. Like, it's not a great spot to be in. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have more thoughts on the Preds coming up next. Open up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.